I call him Josh Z because I can't get all those letters straight. Thank you, Pastor Tom, for refreshing the vision there again. You know, our heart is to do more on these campuses, to do more in global missions. We want to also begin to educate and send out pastors and establish churches throughout the region, throughout the area, throughout the world. And that's on our heart and our vision as well. So we want to get this debt wrapped up so we can begin to focus all of those funds toward staffing and missions and making all of this happen, getting our Bible college back up and running. And there's just so many different things that we have in our heart to do, and this will make it available for us to do. So thank you very much. Some of you, as Pastor Tom said, hey, maybe you know somebody who can help. Maybe you can only help out a little, but you know somebody who could help out a lot. Well, you would then be helping out a lot if you got that person involved. So anyway, we believe, it's an amazing thing. I believe that God is going to get it done. God will get it done. The only part is, will we be able to be a part of what God is doing? You know, it was Esther when it was happening and the whole issue with the Jews and the annihilation was going to happen, and she didn't know she wanted to go in and talk to the king. And it was said that, hey, you can either go in and talk to him, but if you don't, he'll rescue you from some other spot. The idea, do we want to be involved? Do we want to be involved with what God is doing? And I want to have my fingerprints all over it. And God continues to keep challenging us more and more and more. And that has been exciting. It's a faith-filled stewardship adventure. I want to share just a little bit, and I got about 20 minutes here that I want to talk to you about. Why are we doing this 2020 vision? You know, the whole heart of this year is 2020 vision. I want to be able to see, vision to see in 2020. And last week we talked about blind Bartimaeus. He couldn't physically see, and Jesus calls him over and says, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? We said, what do you want God to do for you in 2020? And what blind Bartimaeus said is, I want to see. I want to have my sight. I want to see. And I believe what God wants us to do and to pray for is that we might have spiritual vision to see what the Spirit of God is doing in our church and in the earth so that we can be a part of it and not be taken by it. That we're a part of it, that we're moving with it. I want to see in the Spirit. I want to see what the Spirit of God is doing. I see so much of what the world is doing, what the cosmos is doing. I see what they're saying, what's happening there. But I want to know, what is God doing right now? I know the problems, the issues, and the turmoil that face us. But what is God doing right now? I want to see that. I want to see it. But the devil doesn't want us to see any of it. If you wouldn't mind, Stan, I'm going to read the scripture that we're going to go over in the next 15 to 20 minutes in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. So let's say it together. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Amen. You may be seated. This is the reason we're doing 2020 vision. We have a world that's blinded. We have a world that doesn't see, that doesn't know what God is doing, doesn't know what the Spirit is doing, and are being carried along by the cosmos, by the world, by the talking heads, by ideologies that are out there and not in here. When I look at this, I realize that the God of this age has blinded people. This first verse in verse 3, it says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The word perishing means destroy fully. I'm not talking about, oh, I've been hurt. Oh, some issues are happening. My heart is sad. No, we're talking about total destruction. That's the enemy's plan. He wants us to not have the light of the gospel, but to be in darkness. And as we're in darkness, that world is perishing. It's total destruction. Total annihilation. It's devastating. That's what he's saying here. That's our goal here, is we need more people to help people see the light. Total destruction. The word veiled here, this gospel, the good news, this right here, which is the answers to life, people can't see. They don't get it. They don't understand it. This will change a life, but they don't get it because something is blinding them. The word veiled, it means to cover up. It comes from a Greek word, klepto. We know klepto. A kleptomaniac is a person who steals. It's stealing something. Veiled. It means to filch. And I've used this word before, and this to me is a very, 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 very important word. Filch. It means to pilfer or steal in a casual way. To steal secretly or casually. Now, it's really important. I'll describe it a little bit as we go along. Remember that the devil came to kill, steal, and destroy. He came to kill, steal, and destroy you. Not just people. Oh, I read in here, he came to kill, steal, and destroy. Oh, that's not me. Oh, yeah, it is you. It's you. And you, and you, and you. He's here to kill, steal, and destroy us. But Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. John 10:10. The enemy is here to kill us, to steal, to destroy you. But here's this issue about what the devil's doing is the God of this age is blinding us. That word veil, as I said, means to pilfer or steal in a casual way. The important thing here is not just the stealing, but how it's stolen. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand how the devil works. He doesn't come and steal everything. You come home and you go, oh my gosh, I've been robbed. I've been robbed. No, you come home, he just stole one thing that's hidden away somewhere. He stole something that you don't even think about. As a matter of fact, I must have misplaced that. It's confusing because it's so small. It's so simple. It's so strategic. He doesn't just, whoa, my gosh, I need to do something. We don't even think about doing anything because we don't even notice it. It's like if you go to McDonald's and you order French fries and you turn your head and your kids take a couple of your French fries and you turn back, you don't even know that they're gone. Right? Now, if you take the whole French fries, you would be going, where are my French fries? But to take a few French fries, you don't know. And you eat a few more, and then you come over and you talk to somebody else, and then they eat a few more of them. You come back there, and you're no wiser to it, right? They ate a bunch of French fries, but they did it in such a way that you don't notice it. That's how the devil works. That's how the devil works. Most people notice something missing or stolen, but filching is to do it in such a way as to not even notice it. That's what an embezzler does. A little bit here and there, so no one is the wiser for it. If the devil can steal a little bit at a time from you, you won't even notice it. He steals Verse 4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. The God of this age has blinded. Remember last week we said the word blinded, it means it here too, is to inflate with self-conceit. Blinded. They have no idea that we're ignorant to truth, but we become very conceited in what we do believe, which is a lie. I'm blinded to truth. I believe a lie, and in the lie, not only am I just following a lie, I am conceited. I have a bunch of self-conceit, proud of myself, in my lie. That's what he's doing. And we don't even notice it. We don't even notice it. Not the eyes blinded, but the mind is blinded. That means that their mind can't see, or if you will, think properly. I'm blinded. I can't think properly because I don't have the right data in my head to even come to the right conclusion. You see, I've had the truth stolen from my mind, so now I'm believing a lie, and it got stolen just a little bit, a little bit, a little bit at a time. That's what's happening with the minds of our young people today. That's what's happening to the minds of our old people today. That's what's happening to everybody's mind today. And if you're not aware that there's a filter going after your mind, there's a God of this age going after your thinking process, strategically figuring out how can he take something and get you to believe something you shouldn't be believing, because he's slowly taking away things that you don't even notice have happened. That's why we need to reach our community, our campuses, our world. We don't think properly and we don't even notice it. That's the idea. Who's the God of this age? Tell me. The devil. The Bible calls him in Ephesians 6:12, the cosmocrator. This world, the cosmos. This ruler of the world, the cosmocrator. There's a strategic ruler of this world in the spirit. Ephesians, as I said, 6:12, it says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers. That word ruler there is cosmocrator, which is another name for the devil. Rulers of the darkness of this age. The darkness of this age. My heart is just so overwhelmed because we have people walking away from the Lord. This is the first generation. This is the first generation, this young generation, the first generation where the majority of them are not Christian, are not saved, do not believe in God. First time in the United States. The God of this age has blinded them. How has he blinded us? Well, he can use money, popularity, power, sex, drugs, etc., etc., etc. But he usually does it in a more subtle way. How does the devil blind our minds and get us to do what he wants to? I want to show you a video. It's a secular video. But I want you to see the principle on how does the enemy get us to do things that we don't even know we're doing, but it just seems right. Please watch us and we'll talk about it.
We set up a hidden camera experiment to see if this woman would stand up at the sound of this tone, simply because everyone else is. You might be thinking you'd never go along with this. Or would you?
Everybody there is in on it except for her.
After just three beeps, and without knowing why she's doing it, this woman is now conforming perfectly to the group. But what happens if we take the group away?
Elaine, please.
Okay, now she's alone. The crowd is gone, and nobody is watching her except our hidden cameras. What do you think she'll do? She's now
all by herself
without them even being there. Now, watch what happens when we introduce another outsider who doesn't know the rules.
This is a guy who doesn't know anything. He's just coming for a doctor appointment.
Thanks so much.
Why are you standing up? Everybody was doing it, so I thought I was supposed to.
Think she'll teach the new guy what to do?
But that guy's smarter now, right? This is stupid. This is stupid.
We kept the cameras rolling as more unsuspecting patients arrived. And slowly but surely, what began as a random rule for this woman has now become the social norm for everyone in this waiting room. Here to explain what's going on in their brains is Jonah Berger of the University of Pennsylvania.
This sort of internalized form of herd behavior is part of what we call social learning. Starting at a very early age, when we see members of our group perform a task, our brains literally reward us for following in their footsteps.
When I saw everybody stand up, I felt like I needed to join them. Otherwise, I'm like excluded. Once I decided to go with it, then I felt much more comfortable.
Conformity is how we become socialized, but it can also cause us to develop bad habits or repeat past wrongs.
It's why even this rebel, who wasn't standing for any of this nonsense, eventually joined the ranks. And the only thing more shocking than seeing how easily conformity affects the way you act is that similar forces are subconsciously shaping the way you think.
Why are we here in this university setting? Why do we want to do more on the campuses? Why do we want to have this dead paid so we can put more people on staff and touch more and more lives? Because we have a world that's being taken away and is being taken captive and has no idea that it's even happening to them. Have no idea that it's even happening to them. And then become the leaders to lead everybody else away. And we don't even know why we're doing it. It's exactly the devil's intention. He's a filcher. He will steal from you without you ever notice seeing that it's happening. Let me give a couple of observations. The lady didn't even know why she was doing it, but everyone else was doing it, so she thought it was the norm and expected and the right thing to do. If we don't see that happening by our peers on campus and we get into the wrong thing because, well, it seems like it's the right thing to do. Everyone else is doing it. Remember that? Remember your kids? Everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is doing it. Mom, why can't we? Everybody else is doing it. We do the same thing. We follow what everybody else is doing. Not even knowing why we're doing it. So they can conform perfectly to the group. You see, there is so much unbiblical information, ideology, and theology out there. But people don't go back to the Bible. They just blindly follow their peers. They don't go back to a fixed point. They don't go back to something that helps them know truth. Peer pressure. But people don't even notice that it's happening to them. And my question is this. Are you following the crowd and don't even notice it? Or are you purposely following the Bible? Oh no, I'm following. No. Do you socialize with the Lord and follow the world? Do we follow the ideology, the thoughts, the expressions, the things that said, the ways that the world is trying to get us to think their way? Do you understand? There are so many things that are happening in our society today that are now becoming the norm because the enemy got us to think that it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, and we didn't even notice that we were surrendering everything. that we had it stolen from us. Secondly, why are you standing up? Everybody's doing it, so I thought I was supposed to do it. That's what she says. When the peer pressure is gone, the thinking has become so changed that she continues with her misguided behavior based on her wrong thinking and thinks nothing of it. Filched. Thinks nothing of it. Thinks nothing. You see, the devil is getting us to not think. Not to ask why. Why are we doing this? What does this lead to? Thirdly, she then begins to successfully influence and train the new thinking of her peers. Truly, the blind leading the blind. The blind is leading the blind. The blind literally has no idea why they're leading in that direction, but there are, and people are following. That's our society today. Number four, no one wants to feel like a misfit or out of place. So everyone participates without even noticing they are doing something strange. They're not even thinking. And fifthly, I put it up here, not one person challenged the behavior or thinking of the group. Not one person challenged it. He asked a question about it, but he didn't challenge it and say, this seems stupid. We're just standing at a beep. What? This seems stupid. No, all of us would be going, you know, we all say, I wouldn't do that. I'd be going, why are we doing this? This seems stupid. But all of them did it. We have the video to look at, so now we know differently. But there are so many situations out there in the world. How are we reacting? Have you gotten filched and don't even know it? Has the enemy stolen something from you and you don't even know it? How has the God of this age blinded our minds? Just like that. Just like that. We need Christians to challenge the thinking of the world. And who can you influence? Who will stand up with love? Everybody say, with love. Because to stand up and just rip people apart is not going to change them. It's going to solidify you're an idiot. To stand up with love, with strategic thought, with the Holy Spirit, with the grace of God, with the unction of the Holy Spirit, and saying, why are you standing at the bell? Here's my question to you. Is your mind blinded? Be careful not to answer too quickly without thinking, because that's exactly how the devil wants you to answer. Oh, not me. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I go to church. I'm in a Bible study. No, no, no. It hasn't happened to me. That's exactly what he wants you to think. Hey, you're good, this, that, and the other. Yeah, and not even being aware of or examining the fact, am I getting filched somewhere? Am I changing my morals? Am I changing my beliefs in a subtle way that I'm just... Am I getting stuff stolen? You can be a heathen and be blinded, but you can also be a Christian and be blinded. Blinded and not thinking properly, how does it happen? Instead of going back to a fixed point, going back to something that matters, going back to something we can look at, we feel this progressive movement. Hey, we're here now, so we just evaluate from here. Oh, we're here now, so we only evaluate from here. Oh, we're here now, so we only evaluate from here. Now, hear me. I know I'm going to just a few minutes over, but let me finish, please. Progressivism. And I'm not talking about a party line or politics here. I want to talk about the definition of the word. Is the support for or advocacy of social reform. Everybody wants social justice. As a philosophy, it is based on the idea of progress, which asserts that advancement in science, technology, economic development, and social organization are vital to the improvement of the human condition. That's what progressivism says. It's the definition of the word. The problem is this. Progressivism does nothing to deal with the real problem of the human condition, which is sin. We say that the human condition, we're trying to make the human condition better and better and better and better. The human condition is not getting better. Our values and morals from 50 to 100 years ago in this country are absolutely abhorred to where we are right now and what we value and we see as right or wrong. But who's taking a stand? It looks ahead for the answers to man's problems, but the answer is found in looking back. They're looking ahead. They're looking ahead. They're looking ahead, but the answer is looking back at the cross at Calvary. The answer is seeing Jesus on the cross, going back to Calvary and going, I remember, I'm a filthy, dirty, rotten, miserable sinner. I've been saved by grace. I need a Savior. I need a God. I need you in my life. Lord Jesus, change me today. As I face all the things of this world, the onslaught that says you're thinking wrong, you're doing it wrong, you're doing it. I don't want it stolen. I don't want it stolen. If I were, please follow this illustration. If I were painting a parking lot, we've done this before, and you put down a tape at the very start of where you're going to start and move all that way. If I put a line down and go 6 feet and then paint, and then I'm going to put another line, and then I do another tape measure, 6 feet, and then paint, then another one, 6 feet, and paint, another one, 6 feet, and paint. Do you understand I could be off a little bit on each of these? I'm off a little bit because the paint went over a little bit. So now when I did this, now I'm off. Now I got an error and now I'm compounding the error because I'm just going from where we are. And now I'm going to go from where we are now and move forward. Now I'm going to go from where we are and moving forward. And I keep compounding the error. Now, if I were to put the tape all the way back here and leave it here, and went at 9 feet, zinc, at 16 feet, zinc, at 27 feet, zinc, all of a sudden, now, because I have a fixed point of where I'm measuring from, the error doesn't get compounded. It gets corrected usually. Oh, I was off a little bit there. Well, I'll get it on the next one because I'm going to be at 18 feet. I'm going to be at 27 feet. You see, our world doesn't have any fixed points. It doesn't have any absolutes. Because everything's floating around all over the place. We just determine morality from here and going, duh, I think we ought to, yeah, we should do that. And that's how our morality is determined today. Everybody wants that. Let's do that. This is what determines our morality. This is what we measure from. Why do you think, let me say this, to keep our mind from being blinded, we need to be constantly looking back to the cross. It's our fixed point. It's our point of reference. It's our true north. That's why we do communion once a month. Remember! He says it. Do this in remembrance of me. God was smart. He said, you know what? You guys are going to mess it all up if you don't go back and figure out why we're doing this. If you don't measure from here, you're going to be compounding the errors of your society if you don't measure back to here. That's why we do communion. We remember the cross. Remember, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Remember, I am fallible and susceptible to temptation, and I need the Word of God to live by each and every day. I need to cleanse my palate of all of the sin I've gone. I come back to Jesus and say, Lord, forgive me. He gives me a fresh new start. His mercies are new every morning. But I start from here, not from the progressiveness of, hey, we're all screwed up and messed up, and we just keep getting further and further messed up. Because somebody's figuring out our values by this. And not that. Oh, but you know, I think, and we all need to take into consideration, what are you thinking today? What values do you have today? What thoughts do you have today that maybe aren't centered there, but are centered on the progressive movement of mankind thinking he's going to get better and better and better? We're here right now evaluating life from here. Well, that seems good. I know Bobby and he's got that. And so that should be okay. And we have a world
city, campus, blinded, even us, blinded by the God of this age. So why we have Bible Foundations 1, 2, 3, and 4. That's why we have the Carpenter Series 101, 201, 301. That's why we have Mirror 1 and 2. That's why we have what we have here, so that we can know what this says. We can measure our life the next day from this, so we can take out all the errors. We're going back to that. God help us. God help us. Communion is looking back at the cross, which allows me to reboot. Thank God. Remember we just, you know, had to reboot something, or you turn the computer off and turn it back. The thing isn't working right. Hey, have you turned it off and turned it back on? I haven't done it for a while. And you find out, wow, it solved a lot of stuff. Went back to zero. Looking back at the cross, confessing sin and receiving His amazing grace and forgiveness allows us to reboot. It takes out the glitches of our sin in our program. It opens the blind eyes of our mind. It makes us freshly aware of the God of this age and His wicked plan to destroy us by blinding our minds. Thank you, God, for the cross. The equalizer, the true north. The fixed point from which every other thing is measured from. Thank you, Lord. Verse 5, or continuing on, it says, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of Christ, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The enemy doesn't want the light of Christ to shine on anyone. Our 2020 vision is to open the eyes of the blind on a much larger scale. Let me end there. Father, our heart is to help people who've been filched. We're believing a lie and are propagating the lie to everyone else because that's just what they saw. The buzzer went off and they stood up. That's all they knew. But oh God, we just saw a testimony of people who were standing at the buzzer and then all of a sudden came to truth, came to a church, came to a place, and all of a sudden started to see truth. They could live a different way and then saw how they were being stolen from. Came back to true north. Started a life that radically different. God, we want to do that more. We want to touch more and more people with Your gospel. We want to see more and more people set free. We don't want to stand at a buzzer. We want to stand at the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who says, follow me. Father, forgive us. Help us to help others know the truth and to walk it with joy, love, freedom. Help us, Lord, to do more of Your kingdom's work, that the blind minds might see. What do You want me to do for You? Lord, my prayer, help us to give sight to the blind. In Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys.